Thank you, and God bless you. We had a lot of waving in that video, but we're a happy people. So thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Steve. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be with you today, and especially to share the Word of God. Thank you to Pastor Nigel and Marilyn for driving me this morning. God bless precious friends who were in Toowoomba before. And so it's good to be with you. And you did see, last time I was with you, we had the vision for a chapel. And so you can see the progress. And I do want to say thank you so much, because over the past year, you've really contributed to this chapel. And it will soon be up by the grace of God and for the glory of His name. That will be our theme. This is our theme this year, all for the glory of God. So we want to glorify God in everything we do. And I believe this chapel will be a place, holiness unto the Lord, where our young people will come and get a sense of the presence of the Lord as we worship together and focus on Jesus and not every other thing. So thank you for being a part together with us in that. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for standing with us in this ministry of Center for Change. For me personally, it's been a different time. Hello, Ruth and Elton. And, oh, we've got Liberty Community Church here somewhere joining with us. For me personally, it's been a different season. Some of you might know I've been in Australia for quite a little while. I got here and I thought, oh, how can I stay here? Because I know my place is in the Philippines. But you know, wherever we are, there's a mission field. Wherever God has placed us, we can shine our light. And so it's been quite an interesting experience as I've been living on a little island with about 40 people. But these people need Jesus also. And so it's been great to be able to share the love of Jesus wherever we are in whatever season. I'm excited to say March 11, March, your birthday, I'll be on the plane back to the Philippines. So God is so good. We go through all kinds of seasons, but God is the same. He's the same everywhere, whether it's the Philippines, whether it's here in Toowoomba, no matter where we are, God doesn't change. He's the same. And it's a privilege that we know Him and we can love Him and we can serve Him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let us pray as we come to the Word today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You are altogether wonderful. And we sense your presence in this place. Thank you for Pastor Faye. Thank you for the message that she shared this morning. And it is so impactful what you have done for us. We just appreciate who you are. And we believe in the power of your word. And we believe in the Holy Spirit who brings your word to light within us. And we pray, oh God, that you would speak to each and every one today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the title of the message this morning is God Uses Ordinary People. Do you feel ordinary today? Isn't that good? That's good news, because God uses ordinary people. And when I say the word use, I choose it in a very positive way, because I know that many people feel that they have been used, abused, manipulated, but that's not our God. God does not abuse. God created us, and He made us all over again when we came to know Jesus. And it is a privilege when you know Jesus, when you love Jesus, then the one thing you want to do is to serve Him and shine your light and tell others about Him, no matter where you are. So God does not take advantage of us. It's a privilege that He would invite us to work together with Him in His kingdom work. It's a privilege because He delights to involve us in what will last for eternity. Now, eternity is a long time. God always planned that man would live forever with him. But we know the scripture says he has placed eternity in our hearts. But we know it was once lost to us in the garden by Adam. But before we blame Adam, we have all followed after Adam. We've all gone our own way and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus purchased our salvation at the cost of his own lifeblood that we heard about so beautifully this morning. And amazing as that is, we read, we are bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Bought with a price. Can we understand that? We are bought. If we are bought with a price, that means we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to our God. We belong to Jesus. Bought with a price, his precious blood. And therefore, we're called to glorify God in our bodies. How do we glorify God? By living a life that is pleasing to him. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. And we know this present world is passing away, and we will not live forever on this earth as it is now. But if we belong to Jesus, we will live forever with the one who gave his life for us. We can't do anything to purchase our own salvation. Jesus did that for us. However, we can offer to him the one thing that he is desiring, the treasure he is looking for, which is our own life surrendered to him. Our life surrendered. Jesus gave his life for us. Have we surrendered our life and called him our Lord? Surrendered to God for his kingdom purposes. And remember, his kingdom will last forever. Amazing as it is, God tells us he will reward us. He will reward us for how we live on this earth for him. Isn't that amazing? But the greatest reward, of course, will be to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. Are you waiting to hear him say, well done? You've been good and faithful. You say, oh, not so good. But try to be obedient to what God says to you. Because he is so faithful to us, we want to be quick to obey and be faithful to our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. We can't do anything to purchase our salvation. Jesus did that for us, but we can surrender our life to him. Listen to a part of a poem written by a 19th century missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. You've heard his name. It's entitled Only One Life. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. Yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Have you come to this realization? This life is fleeting, but eternity is forever. And it's such a privilege to understand God has made a way for us to know Him and to spend eternity with Him. May we always remember, no one loves us the way Jesus loves us. And He desires that each of us take our place in His family and have our part in His kingdom purposes, right here and now and on through eternity. It's not only about here and now. And our service and devotion to Him will go on through all eternity. I wonder, have you heard that illustration? Sometimes preachers use this to show how we are brought out of the slavery of the old life that keeps us ensnared on a path to destruction. And it's told about a slave girl. In the US, back in the day when slaves were openly bought and sold. And so as this beautiful young girl was taken up to the block and the bidding began, there was a gentleman walking past and he heard the ugly talk of the bidders. He saw their glazes and he stepped in and he began to bid. And the price went higher and higher and higher. And people were amazed at the price being bidded for this girl on the block. And finally sold to this gentleman passing by. When the girl came down the block with pure hatred in her eyes, with all the spit she could muster, she spat in his face. And he took a handkerchief, he wiped the spit from his face, went to the table, proceeded to settle the transaction. He received the papers and he turned to the girl and he gave her the papers, making her free. When it finally dawned on the girl what this man had done and the price he was willing to pay to give her her freedom, she fell at his feet and she said, "You paid all this to set me free? I will not leave you. I will serve you all my life." Now, mere money was involved in this transaction. How much more? Jesus paid to set us free from the bondage of sin and guilt and hell and lostness. What a wonderful serve, what a wonderful Lord that we serve. And so we sing, how can I make a lesser sacrifice since Jesus gave His all? Our love for Jesus in giving His life for us is now the motivating factor in our lives. And it's our desire, or it should be our desire, to find our place, to know what the Master would have for us in His kingdom work. And always with the desire that others would also have an opportunity to know him. We used to talk about home missions and foreign missions, but for me, wherever God would have you, we are all on a mission. We're on a mission to make Christ known so that others may have the joy of knowing our Lord and Saviour and knowing eternal life, which begins right here and now when we embrace Jesus as our Saviour and goes on into eternity. To be used of God in any way is now our desire. If you know Jesus, to be used of God in any way is the desire of one who has come to know and love Jesus. And God is not looking for extraordinary, talented people because he himself is extraordinary. And he adds the plus factor to our lives and he raises us up to do exploits. The people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Because we have come to know him, to love him, and therefore our desire is to serve him. Is that your desire? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is one of my favorite, and probably many of you here. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. What an incredible scripture. God made us unique, who we are, created in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But not just to sit, but to do good works. And they're works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Sometimes we step into it and we don't even realize God prepared that before the foundation of the world. He knew us. He chose us. He's prepared us as his people to step into things he's ordained for us to do. What a privilege. What a privilege. We can't always see it up ahead, but we look back and we say, wow, now I see the hand of God. Now I see how God led. And that's very exciting. We are God's workmanship. God has a plan for us to be involved in his kingdom work. And he has prepared in advance good works for us to accomplish as part of his family. And it will make a difference for eternity. Let's keep our eyes on eternity. As Mordecai said to Esther, and who knows if perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I heard our brother praying for the world we live in. But you know what? God ordained that we would be alive in this time, as evil as it seems out there. You know what? Talking about foreign and home missions, every one of us are in a foreign mission field because if we know Jesus, we're citizens of heaven. And the way the world operates here is foreign to the child of God. But God has us exactly where he wants us for his kingdom purposes. Has a plan and purpose for your life if you will commit your life to him. Please don't be like those that I doubt. Sorry. Got tunnel vision here, so up there. Don't be like those who I doubt have had a real revelation of our wonderful Lord and Savior, because there are some who just want to add Jesus to their life because they say, oh, well, he'll bless me and he'll help me and he'll enable me to accomplish what I want to do in this world and what I want to accomplish. And it's all about me. And the bonus, I'll escape hell. You know, to know Jesus is to love him. And to love him is to serve him. It's the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is the motivating factor of our lives once we come to know Jesus. To know him is to love him. To love him is to serve him and to want to live for him and do whatever will please him. It's no longer about pleasing myself. It shouldn't be. It's about pleasing him, my Lord, my Savior, the one who gave his life for me. Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Jesus is our perfect example. Not my will. But it's amazing. You might come to Jesus with all this thinking of, oh, God will bless me and help me. But do you know, when you come to know Jesus, the desires of your heart change. What was once the motivating factor of your life no longer is, because God forms his desires within us. And that's why you notice, once I wanted to do this, now I don't want to do this. Once I wanted to accomplish that, no more. Because we've brought ourselves in line, the Holy Spirit has brought us in line with the purpose and plan of God for our lives. And his purpose and his plan for his family is that our lives will count for eternity. The impact of one life, we don't know where it will lead. You know, one person reaches how many thousands in their lifetime? As we shine our light. So God uses ordinary people. But for some reason, some of us exclude ourselves and say, well, God can't use me. It's okay for him. It's okay for her. But God can't use me. And sometimes we even get discouraged hearing people up here give their testimony. Instead of being encouraged, we get discouraged. Mainly because we compare ourselves, but we're each one unique. And God has a plan and purpose for all of us. Excuse me. Hallelujah. So, it's not a matter of comparing ourselves. It's a matter of making ourselves available to the living God and saying, here I am. Lord, you know me better than I know myself. Have your way. Whatever's pleasing to you, I'll align myself by the help and grace of the Holy Spirit. And together we'll see great things accomplished that will affect eternity. Many have been challenged by Isaiah's call in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah heard the voice of God. He said, who will I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. There's probably people sitting here who have had this scripture come alive in their own hearts and said, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. You know, Isaiah's call was unique. And not many of us could have fulfilled Isaiah's call. But God has a call for all of us. Where we are or where he would send us. The whole world is a mission field. We don't have to be like Isaiah. We don't have to be like anybody. We just have to be available to our God. God knows what he has planned for us to do, whether it's speaking to a particular person at a particular time, showing the love of Jesus by helping a neighbor, or taking time to encourage children and youth, that God has a wonderful plan for them. Are you open to hear God's call to you, right where you are or wherever he would send you? We don't know how God can use even the encouragement we speak to children. There's a few children around here today. And I recall the story of a missionary, you've probably heard it, missionary from Scotland visiting a church when he was on home leave. And he felt so sad. The church only had a few handful of older people, apart from the organist and the small boy beside her that was helping her. But still, he was determined to give a call for missionaries to Africa. And he gave the call. And this little boy responded, "Do you know his name?" Many of you do. His name was David Livingstone. We never know where the Spirit of God will be moving and what he will accomplish when we give a challenge or an encouragement to small children. Years ago, we'd say, how many got saved? Sunday evening was the gospel meeting. Oh, 6.5. What do you mean? 6 adults and a child? No, no, no. 1 adult and 6 children. Because the adults already spend half their life. It's the children. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord, not to speak idle words, but words of life and encouragement that will build up people to do their part in the kingdom of God. You saw Pastor Jeremiah up there on the screen. He was one of our boys, came in to us at 6 or 7 years of age, lost from a dysfunctional family in Mindanao. However, he took a bus, got off, the police brought him to us, and it took us till he was 17. Thanks to Facebook, somebody found an auntie and they were reunited. But Jeremiah told me just last year, he said, "Mum, you know, before I came to Centre for Change, even as young as I was, I went into a church, must have been a Catholic church, because," he said, "I saw Jesus on the cross and I said, I want someone to tell me about him." And for 10 years, the Centre for Change family told Jeremiah about the goodness of Jesus. And do you know, Jeremiah is now telling others about Jesus. Actually, he went home and then stayed with family. It wasn't all that good. He ended up moving in with a pastor. And he went to Bible school, and then he text messaged and said, "Mom, would you walk with me? I'm graduating from Bible school, and I want you to walk with me to get my, certificate." So I went to Bohol, I went to that place, and it was such a privilege. Here he had worked his own way through Bible school. We did not assist him. And then I said, "Oh, we've got to bring him home for a holiday because he's one of our boys." And we brought him home and he was preaching and encouraging all the kids and testifying and said, he was given a guitar when he was a young teenager and he taught himself how to play the guitar and then the drums and the organ, and now he's training the young people how to, lead in worship ministry. I said, "Oh my. He's one of our boys. Let's invite him to be the associate pastor." And so he's the associate pastor with us right now, doing a great job. Who knows? What an encouragement to even a young person and what seeds are planted within them. Help us to speak words of life and encouragement that will bear fruit. So God has many things for us. I remember I was graduating. It was in 1987. I went away to study in the U.S. And I worked really hard. God, it was miracle after miracle after miracle, the provision, the scholarship, everything. And my unsaved brother at the time, saved now, thank you, Lord, he said, "Oh, Margaret, you can't come home before you see a little something." And he sent me some money. I got a Greyhound bus ticket If you've ever gone to the US, do not ever, ever get a Greyhound bus ticket going anywhere. You'll take your life in your very hands. Ah! But I was sat next to a Filipino man. I said, oh, my mission has come to me. I'm going to the Philippines. And here's this Filipino man just sitting at the window, and I was sat next to him. Well, I felt anointed to share the gospel. And I began to share about Jesus and gave the gospel, and I kept on and on and on. And Filipinos are very polite. And he wasn't particularly interested because he kept looking out the window. But I kept on and on. Oh, my goodness. And do you know what? The woman in the seat in front, her name was Glory. She turned around with tears running down her face. And she said, how can I be saved? Oh, we changed seats. And I was privileged to lead her to the Lord. And she corresponded with me for years, sent me missionary books and things. She told me everything I was telling this man. Her husband, who was in jail, had been telling her, Glory, beautiful Spanish lady. And she didn't believe him. But when she heard me saying the same things and the difference Jesus makes in your life, she committed her life to the Lord. And so husband and wife restored together and going on for God. Isn't that good news? And you know, that's just being available in the right place at the right time to speak a word, and you think you're sowing it here and it bears fruit here. But I must tell you, I probably backslidden, because often these days I pray, oh God, it would be good to have a vacant seat next to me to have a little rest. But anyway, God prepares good works for us in advance, even the right people at the right spot for us to share with. Are you available to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? He has prepared in advance good works for us to step into, and it includes talking to people about Jesus. Yes, shining our light, but sometimes faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And at some point, we want to share Jesus because it's the number one desire of our Lord. He's not willing any would perish, but all would come to repentance. As Romans 10, 14 and 15 tell us, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And now you're saying it's okay for you, you're sent. I'm not sent. Well, that's not true. If you are a follower of Jesus, he has given us all a commission to go into all the world and make disciples. We can't, as individuals, go to every place in this world, but we are in the world where God has set us, and we can make a difference where he has placed us. I like Canon J. John. He says, it's the great commission, not the great suggestion. So we need to be committed to our commission. Be available to God and say, here I am, Lord. However you can use my life, not like anybody else. You know me. I'm unique. I'm available. I'm your child. I'm not as close as I could be. I'm not perfect. But God, you can use a donkey. You can use anybody. We just make ourselves available. We often think ourselves insignificant in the whole scheme of God's work, but it's not true.
By the grace of God, I am what I am, said the Apostle Paul. And you should say that. I say it often. 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. He made us unique. And he has unique things for each of us to do in his purpose and plan that will make an impact on eternity. By the grace of God, he will not also leave us the way we are. Yes, we are who we are by his grace. But I say thank you, Lord, by your grace. You're not leaving me the same. You're still fashioning me. You're still working in me. The fruit of the Spirit is still being developed in our lives. God made us unique. And by the grace of God, he'll not leave us the way we are. He keeps working in our lives so he can make us more like Jesus and influence more people around where God has placed us so that others may desire to come and know Jesus as Savior. Jesus said, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name to one of mine, you'll not lose your reward. We might think, oh, that's pretty insignificant. It could lead someone to the living water. We'd just be available. God desires to involve us in all kinds of ways. It's a matter of keeping close to him, being available to do whatever God puts in our hearts to do. And it's love for God and love for others that motivates us to be available to God in small and big ways. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that love is expressed in different ways. What we consider small may be very big. You think of how Jesus honored the widow woman. She just put 2 small coins in the offering, but she had given her all, and God noticed. God notices. He notices our sacrifices. Well, how can we call anything we do a sacrifice when we know he gave his all? But he certainly acknowledged that woman, and God noticed that little act, because it was an act of surrender, a giving of it all. Praise God. It's a privilege to have a part in what God is doing in this world. And of course, there will be hardships along the way, but he who endures to the end will receive a victor's crown. Don't give up now. I look around, I see many faces like mine getting older and older. Don't give up yet. Keep on a-going, because God has something for all of us all the years of our lives. We're never past it. We're available to God in every season, whatever it looks like. We are in the family of God, and we can make an impact that will influence other lives for eternity. So let's keep close to God. Let's keep available. He uses ordinary people, and it's a privilege to be used of God in any way by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you as Pastor Steve comes. Oh, looking at the wrong place. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray as Pastor comes.